These are the top stories. Britain has a new prime minister.
In terms of the future, our country has a hung parliament where no party has an overall majority, and we have some deep and pressing problems.
The Red Cross confirms the US has a secret prison in its airbase in Afghanistan. And US stocks close lower again amid concerns over a major Eurozone bailout.
Hello, everyone. It's 2:30 a.m. here in Tehran, and you're watching the news here on Press TV.
Many thanks for joining us. Starting off with Britain, of course, that has a new prime minister. Conservative leader David Cameron has accepted the Queen's invitation to form a new government.
Our country has a hung parliament where no party has an overall majority, and we have some deep and pressing problems, a huge deficit, deep social problems, and a political system in need of reform. Form a proper and full coalition between the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats. I believe that is the right way to provide this country with the strong, the stable, the good and decent government that I think we need so badly.
Prime Minister Gordon Brown had earlier announced his resignation, I should say former Prime Minister, of course. Conservative finance spokesman George Osborne has been named Chancellor of the most seats in parliamentary elections last week, but fell short of an absolute majority. A Conservative government brings an end to 13 years of Labour rule in Britain. Again, I'm joined by our man in London, Roshan Mohammad Saleh. Roshan, as we've been hearing in the past hour or so, there have been a number of appointings. We have, if I'm not wrong, Mr. William Hague has been appointed as Foreign Secretary, and George Osborne has been named Chancellor of Exchequer. Give us an update of what's been happening.
Well, there was some confusion over the shape that the new Cameron cabinet would take because he is in coalition with the Liberal Democrats. However, it has been confirmed, as you say, George Osborne will be the new Chancellor of the Exchequer or British Finance Secretary. And he's already pledged to implement £6 billion of cuts to public spending this year. That was a Tory manifesto pledge. And that is, of course, an attempt to tackle Britain's spiraling budget deficit and huge national debt. On the other, the Liberal Democrats are very uneasy about that because they say that if those cuts are enacted too quickly, Britain risks going back into a recession, which it's just recovering from. However, they do seem to have given way to that Tory demand. William Hague is the new Foreign Secretary. He's considered a hawk, very pro-Israel, very pro-Iraq war, very pro the campaign in Afghanistan. So we can expect to see a greater involvement, British troop involvement in Afghanistan and resources as well. On Iran, he's very hawkish as well. He backs sanctions now against Iran. He feels that the negotiations over Iran's nuclear program have come to a halt, and the UN Security Council needs to enact sanctions to pressure Iran. On the other hand, it looks as though Nick Clegg, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, will become the Deputy Prime Minister, so a very powerful cabinet post, but that is yet to be confirmed. Perhaps he will mellow the right-wing instincts of the Conservative Party. I can also tell you that the deal that Nick Clegg did to go into coalition with the Conservatives and to put David Cameron into Downing Street looks like a pretty hard bargain. He has secured a referendum on electoral reform. The Liberal Democrats feel the current electoral system is very undemocratic. The number of votes does not correspond to the number of seats in Parliament, and they suffer to a great extent as the third towards proportional representation, where every vote counts. And he seems to have secured a referendum on that. The Tory party have traditionally been against that, that scenario playing out. He has also secured fixed-term parliaments 4 years before the Prime Minister could dictate within a five-year period when the election election could be. He's also secured for the first £10,000, people will be taken out of income tax. He's also secured an inheritance tax threshold to be halted and cabinet seats in Parliament. So he's driven a very hard bargain to get David Cameron into Downing Street.
Many thanks to our man in London, David, Roshan Mohammad Saleh. I was just going to say David Cameron, who is, of course, the youngest British Prime Minister since 1812, a piece of interesting information there. Thank you, Roshan. We're going to talk to you later.
Now, moving on. Iran has issued visas for the mothers of the three Americans currently being held in the country. The Americans were detained for illegally entering the Iranian territory in July 2009. Press Gizum Mishamadi reports.
Have you been able to speak to your kids since they were taken?
Visas have been issued for Nora, Cindy, and Laura, the mothers of the three U.S. nationals who have been detained in Iran for illegally crossing the border from Iraq in July 2009.
The foreign ministry has issued visas for their mothers on humanitarian grounds. They can pick their visas from our interest section in New York.
Joshua Fatal, Shane Bauer, and Sarah Short, who talked to their families once in March, are said to have accidentally crossed the border. The roadside snack bar assistant in the mountains of the Iraqi Kurdistan city of Soleimaniyeh, who was probably one of the last people who saw them before they were arrested, recalls his conversation with Sarah, who, according to him, could speak Syrian Arabic.
She said, "We want to stay. It's getting late and we have to go." She said that she was from Mahabad but had lived abroad. There were two men accompanying her. They spoke good English. They had their tea and went that way. I don't know where they came from, but they were headed towards Iran.
The Iranian judiciary says the case is still under investigation, but this did not stop the foreign ministry from bringing joy to their families on Mother's Day.
First of all, my feeling is overwhelming happiness, overwhelming happiness and grateful to the Islamic Republic of Iran to granting us this visa and moving it along. And of course, we look forward to the release of the children and to bring them home. This is a humanitarian visit in that we are visiting our children. That is the main purpose of our trip.
While the three moms celebrate the good news, Iran says this is usually not the case the other way around.
The inhuman treatment of American officials was heartbreaking when they denied the wife of our permanent representative at the UN the visa to visit her son in a hospital in Washington. He died and his mother did not get the chance to see him.
Enforcing the law is, of course, necessary to keep the society in order. However, politicians seem to forget, quite often than not, that considering the humanitarian and moral aspects can ease the tensions. Gisum Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
The Iranian defense minister has warned the U.S. against taking any military action against Iran.
We think Americans are wise enough not to take any military action against Iran. These military drills warn up those seeking adventure in the region.
Mr. Vahidi made the comments during a military drill in the country's southern waters on the seventh day of the maneuver dubbed Velayat 89. The Iranian Navy successfully test-fired surface-to-surface Nur missiles. Nasr-1 surface-to-surface missile and a coast-to-sea missile were also successfully test-fired. The Navy also used the mobile launchers built by the Defense Ministry. Delegations from Iraq, Qatar, and Oman have observed the drills.
Iran's parliamentary speaker has wrapped up a three-day visit to Istanbul, where he held bilateral talks with Turkish leaders. He also attended an emergency meeting on the status of Jerusalem al-Quds held by the Organization of the Islamic Conference. But as Press TV's Jody Sabran reports, Iran's nuclear program was also on the agenda.
Iran says that Western powers are aiding the continued displacement of up to 5 million Palestinians. The comments were made at a press conference in Istanbul by Iran's parliamentary speaker, Mr. Ali Larijani.
Israel came to existence with the help of Britain at the expense of displaced Palestinian people. Today, around 5 million Palestinians are displaced. Then Israel dominated the area with the help of weapons and nuclear warheads of the US and other countries.
He also warned Israel not to think of launching an offensive against the Palestinians or other regional countries.
If they're wise enough, they will not risk it again. If they do this, maybe their destiny will be changed, as the countries of the region now know how to resist the Israeli regime and stand against it.
Larijani's three-day visit coincided with a flurry of regional diplomatic activity. Just hours before his arrival, the Syrian president and emir of Qatar met with Turkish leaders. They openly voiced their support for Iran's right to have a peaceful nuclear program, while strongly condemning Israeli settlement activity and violence against Palestinians. Turkey, a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, is opposed to a new round of sanctions against Iran.
We don't believe that sanctions will work. They have not worked in the past for many other countries, and they won't work here again. We are against sanctions also because it will hurt Turkey. We should continue dialogue. We should continue to talk. This is the only way out.
Later, Larijani held bilateral talks with Turkish leaders. Observers say this demonstrates a shift in regional dynamics and shows that Israel, once a close Turkish ally, is becoming increasingly isolated.
Netanyahu's problems are not only related to the Middle East, but the question of Israeli politics, which is now problematic for the international community. There are many contradictions with the US, the European Union, and the United Nations.
Prior to the Gaza offensive, Turkey had played a mediating role in indirect talks between Syria and Israel over the occupied Golan Heights, but this track has since completely stalled. Regional players, it seems, are now seeing eye to eye on regional issues such as Iran's nuclear program, a message perhaps to outside powers not to derail regional diplomatic efforts. Jody Sobral, Press TV, Istanbul.
Pakistan's ambassador to Iran has been attacked in the Iranian capital. Press TV has learned that the ambassador was attacked when leaving an uptown pool facility. Mohammad Bakhsh Abbasi got bruised in a fight with an Afghan national outside the sports compound. He has been rushed to hospital and is now in good condition. Police say they have arrested the attacker. The ambassador was, of course, reportedly alone. At the time of the incident, the Iranian Foreign Ministry has condemned the attack.
Now, a U.S. drone attack has killed at least 10 people in northwest Pakistan. This is the second drone attack there in less than a day. Officials say an American unmanned plane fired two missiles at a house, injuring several residents in northwest Waziristan. Earlier, another unmanned aircraft fired over a dozen missiles into a village, killing 14 people. U.S. airstrikes have intensified since President Barack Obama took office. Pakistan has repeatedly objected to the attack, saying they violated sovereignty.
The International Committee of the Red Cross has confirmed the existence of a U.S. secret detention facility in Afghanistan.
The Red Cross let the cat out of the bag when it said it has been informed of several names of detainees held at the U.S. airbase in Bagram.
The ICRC is being notified by the U.S. authorities of detained people within 14 days of their arrest. This has been routine practice since August 2009 and is a development welcomed by the ICRC.
The confirmation came in response to the reports on existence of the secret detention facility. The hidden jail is different from the publicly acknowledged prison, now called the detention facility in Parwan, which has also been notorious for prisoner abuse. The United States has been quick to deny the reports. Head of U.S. detention centers in Afghanistan, Robert Harward, has said there is no such prison in Bagram. He has also denied abuse allegations. Many former prisoners say the jail does exist. They claim to have been held and abused at what they call the Black Jail. They say they were kept in cold cells where the U.S. military staff deprived them of sleep. The revelation undermines U.S. President's pledge to shut down secret detention centers across the world. Only passage of time will show if the Bagram secret jail will be the last one to be publicized, or that's just the tip of the iceberg.
The rescue plan to save Greece and the eurozone from a financial crisis has jittered the US stock market. US stocks ended lower on Tuesday over concerns that the EU IMF bailout plan could have an impact on the global economic recovery. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost nearly 37 points, while S&P's dropped nearly 4 points. Nasdaq, however, made a gain of less than a point. Markets have been jittery over the past week over fears that Greece's debt crisis could spread to other small eurozone countries.
It's a quarter to 3 a.m. in Tehran. Here's a reminder of this hour's top stories for you. Britain has...
In terms of the future, our country has a hung parliament where no party has an overall majority, and we have some deep and pressing problems.
The Red Cross confirms the U.S. has a secret prison in its airbase in Afghanistan. And U.S. stocks closed lower again amid concerns over a major eurozone bailout.